Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
No one warned us. No one said you were going to lose both engines at a lower altitude than any jet in history.
Simulations showed that you could make it back to the airport.
Not possible. I felt it go.
From director Clint Eastwood, critics are calling it a triumph. 5 stars.
Brace for impact.
What if I didn't get this wrong? What if I endangered the lives of all those passengers?
People call you a hero.
I don't feel like a hero.
Sully, Miracle on the Hudson. In cinemas December 2nd. Certificate 12A.
Right. Best pod on the road. Hello and welcome to episode 32 of the Tottenham Way podcast. I'm Tom, I'm your host. With me as usual is Dan Kilpatrick.
Hello.
Hello. You, as usual, smirking and unable to do his own intro. Anyway, let's move on. Returning this week is Ollie Lister without your trusty sidekick, Jim. No stylish riot this week, Ollie. How are you feeling about what is essentially a solo pod?
Worried.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, you've done one without Ollie before. The first one you ever did.
All of them without me.
sorry.
That was the day.
Do it again. You've done one without Jim before.
I have, yes. I have.
Yeah. But, you know, and you were fine.
I have a trusty sidekick.
Yeah, you've built a good partnership over the years.
Yeah.
Or over the weeks.
It's kind of diadem ballet pivot sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, welcome back, Polly. Thank you very much for coming back. With us at the long overdue return as well of Harry Sherlock. Harry,
hello.
How are you?
Very good.
Good. This is, we were saying just before we started recording that the last time that you were on this was with Ben Lewis, which was the Arsenal preview. So you pick your pods, my man.
Oh yeah,
you got absolutely. You made yourself available for the second Arsenal preview. Well, third, actually, because you reviewed the League Cup game as well, didn't you? So you've
yes,
been
indeed.
Yeah. Your Arsenal correspondent.
That was the one in the kitchen.
Don't say that.
Yeah,
don't say that.
The League Cup one was the one that we did with the ice machine as well.
Yeah,
yeah. Great days.
I'm battling with it.
Yeah. You've just got Ollie to deal with this week. Let's get cracking because we've got a lot to get through, and a lot of it is in terms of a preview, which we're rubbish at, but we're going to really try and do it this week. But so since we last recorded, we've had Fiorentina at home in the Europa League, which we won 3-0, and we obviously had Swansea at the weekend, which we won 2-1. Let's talk about Fiorentina first, because I think that there's quite a lot to talk about in that. I think it was about as comfortable a victory as we could have imagined, wasn't it, against third place in the Italian league. It was a difficult first leg, but we pretty much swatted them aside without Harry Kane as well, didn't we? So who wants to run with this one first? Who went for a start? I didn't go.
I went.
You went in your professional capacity.
I did.
Did you guys go, Ollie?
No.
No.
So Dan, you can start this because
really impressed. It didn't feel like a very Europa League performance. It felt more like we were playing a team, a sort of lesser Premier League side. That's what it felt like. Fiorentina were quite poor, I thought. There were a couple of Italian journalists there who were saying they'd never seen Fiorentina play so badly. But then I'm not sure they'd watched a lot of Spurs, so it may have been the case that Spurs made them look really poor.
Yeah.
There was a really pleasing level of intensity. Normally in the Europa League, we tend to sit off teams, don't play the same pressing game that we play in the league that we're all familiar with. But I think perhaps because it's the knockouts, or perhaps because Pochettino just told them they had to do it, the team was a lot more energised than we saw in the group stage.
On the map was really Palace, I suppose, as well. In the car.
Yeah, and I've almost forgotten it already, but there felt like there was quite a lot of pressure on that game because we went out of the FA Cup. Going out of two cups in a week, I think, would have been really bad for confidence and it would have been really bad for momentum. So that game actually felt really big beforehand, but we dealt with it so comfortably, and you know, almost look back now and think it was an inevitable victory, but of course it wasn't.
Yeah. Harry, what did you think?
I didn't see it at the time. I watched it back. I recorded it. I was.
See, when he misses a game, he records it and watched it back.
Oh, right.
It's professionalism.
It is professional. Very professional.
It's what we can do nowadays with modern technology.
I can't do that. I can barely get a podcast going. Do you want to edit it yourself?
No.
Sorry, Harry, go on.
Yeah, I watched it back and I was impressed with it. I mean, normally when I watch games, talking about professionalism, normally when I watch games back, I tend to skip through bits, but I wasn't ever inclined to. Watching it, I thought Spurs were excellent from the first whistle, really. I hadn't seen a lot of Fiorentina beforehand, I can't lie, but I kind of had the same feeling as Dan, really. I kind of felt like we were playing Norwich, as opposed to a marquee Italian team. That we were brilliant, really.
Considering we had our talisman out as well, top scorer, talisman, best striker that we've got, only striker that we've got, but it was about as comfortable as we could have imagined. And I think to win 3-0, because it was Lamella, Mason, and
an own goal.
And I mean, this goal was coming from all over the pitch a little bit, isn't it? I thought Lamella's goal was really good. But do you think Mason's goal, Ollie, do you think that it was a great finish, or was it bad keeping? Because it's been divided, and on first glance I thought it was a really good finish, and I still do think it was a good finish, but there was only one place he was put in that, and the keeper still didn't seem to read it, and even when he did read it, didn't even put a hand out.
So I'm in the good finish camp. I think the keeper can't chance too early, go down, you know. He's telegraphed it and he's opened himself up, and it looks like he's going to stick it exactly where he stuck it. But if he goes down too early, he's just going to ping it in the near post, and it's even worse. I do think that he put it just in that area that is really awkward, in that it was hit low, but it's kind of like, it's not near enough to go with your feet, but it's kind of in that uncertain area, like, do I go with my hands? No, as well. So I do think it's a really good finish.
I think maybe it made
the keeper look bad.
Yeah,
he may have been a little slower.
If Spurs concede that goal, if Loris concedes that goal, wouldn't you be quite happy?
He doesn't concede that goal.
Yeah, but if he did, you'd be unhappy. I think it made the keeper look bad. I do think it was, you know, I think most keepers would struggle to put it. It's just in that, because it was quite near his feet, but it wasn't next to his foot, and it just kind of, it was.
It was good to see Mason score that, because I think he's been getting in those positions for 18 months ever since he got in the team. He's been making really good runs from deep, and the fact that he's now got an opportunity, or he's going to have opportunities to play next to Dyer, means he's probably going to get even more chance to make those runs from deep, because he knows that Dyer is going to be sitting and covering, and he's tended to panic or put it over the bar or shoot the keeper. And we keep hearing these stories from the usual youth watchers about how Mason used to be a lethal finisher in the under-18s and under-21s. I mean, we've seen that for the first team, I think that was his fourth goal.
Yeah.
So it was really good to see him get in the box, and telegraphed or not, I thought it was bad keeping, personally, but telegraphed or not, it was good to see him stick it away.
He scores important goals as well. So think about the four goals that he scored: the Sunderland winner, the Forest game, his debut, or not his debut, the first game.
That was a great goal as well.
Yeah, I don't know what his other goal was, but he scores, I mean, three out of his four goals have been really quite key for us. I think he's prepared to sort of make a break, isn't he? And for wherever he ends up, at Spurs or otherwise, I think he's a good squad player to have around at the moment. He may even get better over time, but you can't discount not the fact that he just scores the odd goal, but what he's prepared to do to break a deadlock and you know, get through when in a really difficult game, you know. So I think he's quite. I don't know what you think about Mason, Harry, but I like him.
I really like him. I think bad keeping. I'm with Dan there, but it was a great run. It's a really good run.
And a really good first touch as well
by Ali, because I think Ali was facing the wrong way when he received the ball, but he spotted the run quite early.
Was it a tackle? Ali kind of got there just in front of the defender and sort of prodded it, didn't he? Yeah, I wasn't sure, but Mason, whatever happened, Mason's first and second touches were great, and it really set him up to then finish it.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's going to end up, but I think I think he's good. I don't think he's quite first 11, to be honest. I hate to sound like I'm digging a Spurs player out.
I don't think anyone really thinks Mason should be in our first 11.
I think he's that little
apart from Rosa.
Bit older.
Yeah.
He's that little bit older than like Ali and like Dyer.
Yeah.
And so that kind of counts against him, and I don't see him getting that much better. Mm. I don't think his ceiling is quite as high as like Dyer's is.
But it's important to have around the squad.
It's definitely really important series of games coming up. Obviously, we've got a few injuries in that area.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's kind of obviously clearly back to fitness. He's coming on the weekend as well, we'll probably touch on. But this could be a really important time for him. Yeah. You know, if he shows that sort of instinct getting forward, and he could have come up with a few more goals, it really could be quite telling.
He's taken his chance in a way that Bentaleb isn't, I think, as well.
Yeah.
That's harsh.
I disagree. It's harsh. I'm not digging Bentaleb in that way, but I think we're gonna talk a little bit later about Chadley.
Mm.
But to bring it in early, I think the way that they've come back from injury, Mason was very staggered. Bentaleb's been incredibly staggered, but Chadley sort of came back in and sort of done really, really well with it. But Mason seems to be accelerated past Bentaleb in terms of how much he's used, and as soon as he was fit. He was put in against Chelsea, then he got injured again, and very soon after he came back after his ankle injury, he's being used. He's played twice as much as Bentaleb has in the last...
I think this season, half his games, he's been injured. We've played 40-odd games this season. He's been fit for about 20 of them. Mason knows, I saw something about that today. But on that, I think he could be, you know, in terms of what the difference between him and Bentaleb, I think the major difference is Mason comes in, and he does a job, he doesn't feel like he has to kind of showboat or demonstrate how good a player he is. He gets on and does a job, and I think Bentaleb has forced it quite a lot, and the opportunities will be a limit.
You said that last week, Dan, I think, that Bentaleb's
It feels like he stopped doing the simple things that he did so well last year.
Whereas Mason's game almost is that. I'm not saying that's a dig at Mason. But
him and Bentaleb's in a position where he feels like he needs to prove again that he's as good as he was last season.
Mm.
Whereas Mason was always quietly impressive, I think everyone knew that Bentaleb, obviously bar Kane, was probably the best player we had last season.
Mm.
And this season, obviously, he's struggled to get in the team really because Ali's so good and Dyer's been so good. And obviously, he's had injury problems. But when he comes back in, I think he feels like he really needs to make a point for some reason.
I think his celebration as well, when he scored that goal, I mean, it wasn't just like a kind of chest bump. He looked like...
Oh, do you mean Mason now?
Yeah. After when that goal went in, you know, he was grabbing his shirt and, you know, it looked like it meant a lot.
Yeah.
And that kind of felt like he wanted to be part of the team. And as much as I like Bentaleb, I think he's a very talented player. I don't think you'd get that type of reaction if he were to do something significant.
Well, last season, when I think the Chelsea game, and we're moving on to Bentaleb, we really need to move on quickly, but when the Chelsea game and Chadley scored, he sank to his knees and did the proper...
He's done that a couple of times. He did that with his debut as well.
Yeah, he did.
When someone scored against Southampton on his debut, there was just a shot of him halfway on his knees, like, ah!
Yeah, he loves it.
I think he's less of a team player than Mason.
Guess how?
No, stay here, because we need to talk about Dortmund as well.
Can I make a point about the fans on Thursday night?
Yes, definitely.
Because I thought they were absolutely brilliant, and it really reminded me of how unbelievable Spurs fans can be, and as did Sunday, actually, as did yesterday.
Yeah.
But probably one of the best things I've seen at the Lane since I've been going for work since January. Was the chant off between the Sheriff side and the Park Lane? It was absolutely epic.
Was it 15 minutes or something like that?
It was the focus of the ground for about 5 minutes. As in, every head was turned in that direction for about 5 minutes, and it was going back and forth. A few people said on Twitter it had sort of been going on for like 10 minutes before that, but I was really paying attention for like about 5 or 6 minutes, but it was just brilliant. And at the end, there was like a huge round of applause from like they applauded each other, and there was and it was really good. And I haven't seen something like that for a while, and I haven't experienced an atmosphere like that. I went to a couple of the Europa League home games, group games, as a fan, and it wasn't like that. It was like a proper European night under lights at White Hart Lane, and I think Dortmund is going
to
be
even
better.
I was going to say, that leads
better.
Us on quite nicely to the question of Dortmund. Well, two questions of Dortmund. A, dream tie, or are you annoyed that we've had such a hard game? Would you have rather met them a little bit later because you want to go further, or... I'm so happy. I'm delighted with Dortmund.
I'm really happy with it. I wanted United.
Really?
I can't lie. I wanted United.
Why?
That is a bad opinion.
Why did you want United, Harry?
Easy progress.
Okay, but there are other teams that we could have had a trip, a bit European experience.
If you want to play a team who we play twice a season, every season.
Yeah. I wanted to play United because I think, more than anything, I think we're better than them. And I think it was probably the easiest draw we could have got.
Slavia Prague?
Braga?
Braga and Prague are in there as well.
Yeah, but they're...
awkward
trips away. We know Old Trafford. We've been there.
And we looked. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Quite a few times recently. So I wanted United. But Dortmund, of all the foreign teams, obviously that's the club that you want.
They don't like us as well. They're Arsenal. They're very pro Arsenal.
I saw what Hummels said as well.
Because of Rosicki.
Yeah.
And they've got a lot of time for Arsenal.
Rosicki has never played for Arsenal.
Well, you know, it's
been
there
for 12 years and played about 10 games.
Just because of that.
Hummels was saying afterwards, wasn't he, that obviously it's a great draw, but we expect to progress. We expect to beat them.
But that's a winning team, isn't it? That's someone who's... Because they're a Champions League level team.
Definitely.
And that's what I was going to say about it. I think that this is the best Europa League game we've ever had. Potentially. But I think in terms of a game and a tie, I think we spoke about just before, Sevilla, PSV...
Shamrock
Rovers, Kazan. But PSV and Inter, but even then, we played them the season before, or two seasons before, and that was when they were champions, and then
we played them again.
It's not on the same calibre. I think this could be a hell of a game, and it's a big marker of where we are, isn't it?
Yeah. I think Spurs can't lose as well. Adam Nathan, friend of the pod, very succinctly said on Twitter, it's win-win. We either lose, go out, and I don't expect Pochettino Spurs to go out with a whimper. We either go out in a close tie and then we focus on the title challenge, or we beat Borussia Dortmund and progress the next round, which is obviously great. So I can't see that it's a bad thing for Spurs to be playing such a strong team.
I agree with that to an extent. I think the Europa League has actually taken on like huge importance for us now.
Right.
Because it is our only other remaining competition. And I think if we go out in the next round, effectively, so many of the squad are just going to be like, that's my season.
You literally said this last week, Dan.
Said that last week.
I wasn't listening.
But I do
think it's really important just to keep up the momentum, to keep people on board, to keep the...
It's almost word for word.
Yeah,
exactly what you
it's
said
almost word
week.
For word.
I'm not,
I feel
I'm
like
saying
you
can
listen.
Stand
you're claiming it's your point and you're pretending you haven't listened.
If that's what's happened, so be it. But I do think it's important.
I agreed with you before going into this round. So I felt like we need this round. If we'd have gone out of two cups in a week, I think for motivation, particularly for the guys who are kind of on the fringes of the first 11, I think that would have been a really bad thing to happen. But I think the games after the two Dortmund legs are Villa and Bournemouth. Or Bournemouth and Villa, I can't remember. If you could pick any two teams to play, with the greatest of respect, actually no respect to Villa, shite. But if you can pick two teams to play in the Premier League, you'll pretty much pick those two.
Yes,
maybe Sunderland. But if you then look at who would play after the next round of this competition, it's like Man U and Liverpool. Yeah. So yes, I agree with you, but what I'm saying is, and I agree myself, but what I'm saying is if we now go out to Dortmund, you know, we can at least say, right, we've lost to probably the favourites for the whole thing, and now we're focusing on...
There's no disgrace in losing to them. I just think it'd be great for our actual league, I think
almost feel like Pochettino's Tottenham are better when they're playing three games in a week.
They seem to thrive off it.
Like they just bounce from one game to another. Yeah. They keep momentum up.
After the cup final last season, we had nothing. We had no Europa League.
Yeah, we got worse,
and we were terrible. Yeah, it's literally straight after the cup final. Our form completely tailed off. So, just quickly before we move on to the Swansea game. The ticket prices for Dortmund has been a big, big topic among Spurs fans. It's gone up from, am I correct in saying, £25 to £40?
I think
for a single ticket in a certain area. I think I saw
25 to 47 was one increase.
Ballpark.
So, I mean, what do you guys think of it? Is it fair considering, we've just said, it's the biggest glamour tie, it's going to be a really good, great game. Is it fair that we've put the prices up? Or
no. It can't be, can it? Because you saw Dortmund earlier this season; they threw tennis balls on the pitch at being forced to pay £15 for a ticket. You know, so I think Dortmund fans would be disgusted if Dortmund did it. I'm not sure if they have, but for us, no. I think it's a vile thing to do. To be honest,
I've maybe feel less sympathetic towards that. I just think it's a massive tie. Any big sporting event you want to go to, if you want to go and watch your local team play, or you want to go and watch your local band play.
But it's not about the prices in isolation, we should point out. It's because of the group games and for the Fiorentina game, there was a cap on prices, and it was something like £5 for juniors, £25 maximum tickets.
Which is great.
And that set a lovely precedent. It allowed families to go, it allowed fans who might not otherwise be able to afford a Premier League ticket to go and see Spurs, and it really created a great deal of goodwill between the club and supporters. And then to renege on that because we've got a big tie, that's where the issue comes in. It's not the game in isolation. I think people can accept that it's a category C game for a reason. It's the fact that
I think they've made a rod for their own back as well, because if we get through and say get Prague in the next round, they either have to kind of admit that it is in isolation or knock it all the way back.
Absolutely is in isolation though, isn't it? You know, we isolate every single game. That's one of these categorisations.
Yeah, but they can pass it off as the stage of the competition. I mean, everyone agrees that there's already too many games in the Europa League, and therefore if you've got three home group games that are £25 a pop, you get through to the last 58 or whatever's left. 32, whatever. You get through to that, and then you've got a £25, and it remains the same. Last 16, you've still got quite a few games before you even get to pay for a ticket to the final.
But what are Spurs gaining from
this? Well, that's the point that the trust have said, isn't there?
There is no gain for Spurs from this at all. And if the tickets were the same price as they were for Carabag, for example, in the group, the atmosphere would be great. Because you've got fans there who think that it's a special thing because they don't get to go normally.
I think the question boils down to, will it sell out still? And yes, it will.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem about ticket prices, though, is that they know that they can charge what they want and they'll get a full stadium.
There's no such thing as
pricing in a fan. If you can afford £40, you can afford £15. You're only pricing out fans. By increasing ticket prices, you're not pricing in any band of supporter. Yeah. You're only pricing out. And that's my biggest issue with it, I think. I don't know. There's no end to this. It's going to be that amount of money. But it's interesting to see what happens.
I think whatever price you put on a ticket, there'll always be someone that takes issue with it.
But people weren't having an issue with the Europa League. Everyone was very, very happy, as Dan was saying, about the goodwill that was going between the club and the fans. All right, the Premier League prices are expensive, but everyone knows that. But we've got the Europa League, which they kind of know what the interest is like for supporters. Get to this stage of a competition. If you keep the same prices, then surely, you don't lose...
It looks really grubby saying, oh, we've drawn Dortmund. You can just imagine, like, at Spurs, them going, we've drawn Dortmund. Yeah, but the ticket price is up.
Yeah.
You can just see it.
Yeah, it seems very black and white.
It's a horrible thing. It's
don't
horrible.
Buy tickets, everyone.
Well, yeah, and this is it.
No Become one. A journalist and you get them for free.
Yes. Our press box is going to be 30,000 people.
They will not fit. I don't.
Let's definitely move on. We've really overrun already. I think this is going to be a long pod anyway, which people will want. Course, Dan.
Keep listening.
Yeah, people are gagging for it.
Yeah, they're like, an hour? God.
Give me more, give me 2 hours.
Yeah, give us your phone number. We'll call you up and hear your voices more.
That's never happened. Don't ask my phone number.
Don't do that, that's weird.
Carry it out. I'm going to tweet your phone
number. Don't even ask your
phone number. So, Swansea. We had Swansea on Sunday. About as vital a win as it comes, especially with the week coming up. But vital in relation to the title, considering Leicester won, but also vital in terms of a top four finish because United won. So we kept that 10-point buffer, but we stay within 2 points of Leicester. There's a stat going around, or a couple of stats going around. We created a chance every 2.5 minutes in the game, which is pretty amazing, really. We covered 122 kilometres collectively, further than any other team in the Premier League this weekend. This whole fitness thing, we seem to be doing all right, don't we, really? And I think it was like Fiorentina. I know we went a goal down, but we were pretty comfortable again. I think it could have been more. I don't know what
kind of astonishing, isn't it? Spurs have played 4 times since Swansea last played.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, and that's an interesting point to add on to the whole staying in the Europa League thing.
By the laws of logic, or whatever you want to call it, Swansea should have been a lot fresher and a lot fitter than Spurs, but it's just astonishing that how fit and well drilled Pochettino's got the team. It's amazing. We completely outrun them. It was not dissimilar to the Watford game, I thought.
Yeah.
Wave after wave of attack. Swansea took the lead. I thought we were very sloppy. It was a very sloppy goal to give away. I saw a couple of people saying it was just a bounce of a ball, lucky deflection, but our back four was asleep. And they were asleep in the second minute as well when Poloshi had that cross to Sigurdsson.
Great save.
We were a little bit asleep at the back, but there was not too many problems going forward in the first half. And then after the break, it was like a siege.
Mm.
They were camped on the edge of their own half, and it felt like a matter of time before Spurs scored. I wasn't completely convinced we were going to win.
Yeah, I agree. But definitely
once we'd scored, I was.
Mm.
It was really telling afterwards because I was there for work and I went to the post-match press conferences. And the Swansea manager was ill, so they sent the assistant guy, Alan Curtis, I think.
Yes.
And he was... It's funny, I put him Tony Curtis in copy, and that's true. He's not Tony Curtis. Yeah, and he was saying, like, this is probably one of the best teams we've played this season.
Exactly what Flores said.
Wave after wave after wave of attack, and then obviously they asked him, like, can they win the league? And he went, absolutely. So I thought they could beforehand, but now I've seen them, definitely.
Well, that's very telling because Flores said the same thing.
Yes.
Paulo Sousa, the Fiorentina manager, was really complimentary.
Mm.
Top 5 team in Europe.
Yeah.
Really? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Pellegrini was fairly bitter, but the last 3 or 4 managers we've played have all been incredibly complimentary and essentially said it's one of the best teams we've played this season.
Martinez says as well, didn't he? He said that's the best team we've had at Goodison this year.
Really?
Mm.
That was must be a while ago. So, and obviously, more or less, football managers know what they're talking about, and everyone seems to be.
Sherwood doesn't.
Very confident. He's not a football manager.
He's a football man.
He's a football man.
He's a football lad. Actually, come on, guys.
I think it's what was quite pleasing for me personally. In previous seasons, a team going 1-0 up through the means that they did, kind of, you know, we battered them first half, but they had their one of two chances and they stuck one away. But then they camped. They didn't really do anything for the rest of the whole game, and they really camped. But like you said, I maybe wasn't confident of winning the game, but I certainly thought that we were good for a goal. And when Chadley scored in about 70 minutes, wasn't it? And then Rose
scored in 77.
77, yeah. 78. So we broke down a team that was first of all trying to protect a lead and then just desperately trying to protect a point, and they're scrapping for their lives. And we, I mean, through quite similar means, I think. Ball, you were saying before then, that Fabianski punched it out poorly for both goals.
Yeah.
And then it fell to a fullback, and it suddenly it's back in the box, and basically Rosie's goal was like Walker getting his target.
The Fabianski thing's interesting because at the time I thought it had an absolute blinder being there. I thought this is one of the best goalkeeping performances I've ever seen.
Very Tim Krul, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very Tim Krul. But then I watched was that a 1-0 defeat?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
most saves ever made by a Premier League goalkeeper at the time. I don't know if it still stands, but
it had the feel of that kind of performance. Yeah. But I watched it back on Matchday 2 last night, and I thought he was at fault for both goals.
He was. Yeah.
I'm not sure I'd blame him for the Rose shot scrumming underneath him, because he was really unsighted. There were like a lot of people between him and the ball. But both times he did a flappy punch.
Flappy and both times
it fell to our fullback, and in one case Walker crossed for Chadley, in another case Rose.
You've got a key fight to siege though, haven't you? You know, he's the busiest player, he's gonna make mistakes.
More touches than anyone on the pitch apart from Ericsson.
That's incredible. Wow.
It was like in the 90s.
It says so much, does it? Stats can sometimes mean nothing, but it's not just the fact that Fabianski's got to be saving these shots, but he's got to be coming for crosses, he's got to be clearing his area, got to be taking goal kicks. We were just constantly down that end.
We did take a while to go. I don't think we started quite measured, I thought. I'm not going to say slowly measured. I think we kind of wanted to get in some passing battle with them. Mm. And we let them, we kind of allowed them in. And I think it took the goal to wake us up, because I don't think we looked that bright up until the point they scored. The minute they scored, it was like, there was a roar from the crowd, which is encouraging, I thought.
Crowd
often,
again were excellent.
Yeah, another shout out for the crowd. Absolutely.
I don't think anyone really, you say you don't believe that we maybe were going to win the game, but we were certainly going to be kind of loud enough to make the players.
There wasn't a negativity that surrounds the ground often when we go 1-0 down.
Sorry, but the reason for laughter is that the iPad's gone down with the running order on it. And
it's out of battery.
It's out of battery. So, and then my panicked look to Dan, just basically with my eyes, I just went, what am I going to do?
I did offer to print this.
You did? Yeah, sorry, mate.
We'll just think, blagger.
We know what the rest of it is. West Ham, Arsenal, whatever.
Your questions, we're making them up.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Come on, you Spurs. right, Ollie, what were you saying? We're totally rudderless now. Totally. You see me panic.
I think we did actually, you know, spring to life once they scored, and it was literally wave after wave. I know we're going to come on to it. Full backs, both, in my opinion, were incredible. I thought Ericsson was very good.
Ericsson was really good, yeah.
Harry didn't think Ericsson was good.
Really?
He told me in the pub after.
Okay.
I didn't. I mean, I watched.
Bad opinion.
I was kind of keeping an eye on him, and I kind of thought he was trying to force it a lot.
But if he didn't, then who was? Who was going to? Surely, that's 1-0 down at home, surely you should be forcing it.
I don't know. I wonder if it was because of Ali's injury, maybe, that he was where he was.
It was a lot more central, yeah.
Yeah, but I just thought Ericsson, I thought he gave the ball away quite a lot, and I just don't think he was as good as maybe Rose was, I thought Rose was our best player.
Rose was terrific, but overall,
I thought we were very good. And I think reading through Rose's quotes today, I think everyone picked up on the Lamella thing, which is lovely and really nice, obviously. But I thought it was really telling that he was talking about the size of the pitch and the way that White Hart Lane is very small, opposed to like the Emirates or whatever. Mm. So it's harder for us to break teams down because there's less space for us to get in behind. So we really have to work at it to get the goal. Mm. And to pepper Fabianski's goal as we did, I think it's even more impressive that even Rose is looking at the pitch and thinking, shit, this is going to be hard.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And for us to fall behind as often as we have this season as well and rescue points.
Yeah, it's a that's
massive
point.
Credit
yeah.
to Pochettino's management and to the players as well.
We've been losing to Swansea three times this season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twice in the first game and then yeah.
I'd like to know how many tackles our fullbacks actually had to make yesterday. Mm. That they were virtually playing as.
I think we
like,
should talk about Rose specifically. I think we've been a while since we've done a specific player focus, and I think we may have done
it's
Rose
been about
this 15 season.
15 minutes since we did Eric Mason, isn't it?
That's true, but I mean specifically, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say on the running order, but who knows?
You do not know.
Danny Rose was. I think he has been excellent since Christmas. I think he's been good, but him and Davis were definitely sparring for that one spot. But he has been great. And starting from that City game, when he sort of blocked the ball from point blank range,
he was
so
good.
Dicked everyone off with that 10-yard running out when this ball was supposed to go out. But yesterday, he was apart from the winner, it's the desire that we see in players like Kane and Dyer and Mason when he plays as well. But Rose doesn't seem to get the same sort of, oh, he just gets it, he loves the club sort of thing. He might not have that sort of same growing up Spurs thing, because he got him from Leeds, didn't we, quite young.
Yeah.
But he's had a bit of a journey at us, hasn't he? And he can tell that this does mean a lot to him. And he's, if nothing else, he is going to be 100% committed. He's such a Poch player. And for how much he's improved since Pochettino's come in, do you think he gets a credit that he deserves? Because he's not number one left back necessarily, is he?
Well, I was saying to Dan yesterday that last time I came on the pod, I kind of had a bit of a go at him. And I was saying that Davis is probably the better option defensively. But Rose has just been brilliant these last, especially these last kind of 3 or 4 weeks. I think he's really come into his own. And Poch saying yesterday that like Rose was the first player he sat down with and had a chat with. And like he actually could have left when Poch came in, and I saw
he wasn't very confident as well.
I saw a lot of people today retweeting the abuse that the Spurs account got when Rose signed his new deal, and I think that wasn't a reward for form. That was Pochettino telling him, "No, I do trust you. I know you're going to be good. Mm-hmm. I believe in you," essentially, and that's really come off. And it's kind of like a bit like he did with Luke Shaw at Southampton. I think it's very similar.
Okay.
The rise that he's had. I don't want him to go to Man United for 30 million.
Yeah. I don't think Man United want him to go to United for 30 million.
No.
I love him, but he's not. Let's be honest.
He has become like. He's obviously just ahead of Davies. I don't think either of them, you know, we are spoiled for fullbacks for once. You know, we actually have four decent fullbacks and either of them start. I think if you speak of the four, Trippier's your least able,
definitely,
if you want. But he offers that dynamism, and he also is the player that Poch always goes to the big teams.
Yeah, definitely.
He'll
trust him full stop.
And he, I don't think he's necessarily as technically gifted on the ball as Davies, who I think is probably better with the ball, but he offers that kind of real kind of die-hard attitude.
Yeah.
He gets about, he's nasty, he's in people's faces, he doesn't let, you know, things like, which is exactly what you want from a fullback, someone who's going to harry and bustle
remember,
and all that sort of stuff.
I hate to bring him up, but I think it was Lee Dixon said that when George Graham first went to Arsenal, and he said, I think Dixon was saying they're targeting me with high balls, and he said if you're a small fullback, you don't have to win the ball, you just have to make it difficult, and that's exactly what Rose does. He makes life so difficult for any player that he's up against.
He's not a small guy, he's not a tall guy, but he's stocky.
Yeah, he's a rhino, and real kind of
he's got a streak in him as well. I think that's across all of our squad at the moment. There is a certain underlying I will kick you when no one's done sort of thing about it, which is great because we've missed that, but he embodies that kind of attitude of like you're referring to, you know, the City game where he plays that injured, we're going to take it forward a bit and then boot it out,
and
he
knows
he loves
that. The rest of the half he's got a whole side of the stadium really angry with him, but you can tell that he loves it, because he did against Stoke a couple of years ago, didn't he, and
they still
boo
him, don't
they? They still boo him for having for being kicked in the thigh. It's really odd, but he loves it. You can tell he thrives on that.
Prepared to have a bit of gamesmanship.
Yeah.
And that is something we've not had for a long time. Yeah. Play the game and all that sort of thing.
I agree. Dan, what do you think? Do you think Danny Rose is as important as players like Kane and Dyer and Alderweireld say, or is he,
no,
is he in the second bracket under?
He's not as important as them because of Davis.
Okay.
Because if Rose got broke his leg, God forbid, on Wednesday, I'm going to touch wood, Spurs' title challenge wouldn't be over.
Okay, yeah.
Whereas you can make a strong case that if Kane or Dyer did or Alderweireld did, it'd be very hard to.
Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah. So.
All hugging.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I just wish I hadn't said that now. But you get where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, he's very important. And I think, first of all, we need to go all the way back to Harry Redknapp to chart Rose's rise.
He did come
to the club as, I think, a central midfielder.
Yeah.
And then because he was left-footed and quite quick, he was just shunted out to the left wing.
Right wing against Arsenal.
Yeah. He's got a left foot.
Yeah, he's got a left foot, and you're not sure who he is.
Yeah. he only played 45 minutes in that game.
Yeah,
well.
He came on, didn't he?
Smashed it into the top corner and just went off after.
And then, to be fair, that looked like that was going to be his only ever contribution to this for a little while, didn't it?
But it's good they've gone from the left wing, though, didn't he? Despite starting on the right.
Yeah, he did. He was out.
Center, yeah.
Yeah, he was basically on the edge of the box, ready to defend, not volley it in. It's so good, isn't it? You can watch it all day. It's so good.
But we've gone over it before. But it's telling that Pochettino will always rotate the fullbacks. You always know that Trippier and Davis are going to start on Wednesday, and then it'll be Rose and Walker for the North London derby.
I'm not sure.
Do you think
Trippier? I think he might start Walker on Wednesday.
No, I don't
think Trippier against Arsenal. Or?
No, I think he'll start Walker.
I don't think he'll play Walker three games in a week. He hasn't done that all season.
No.
I just think that the scale of the games.
He might make an exception.
Walker is.
But what's good enough is that we're not sitting here thinking, oh my god, if he plays so and so, it's not as good as Rose and Walker, but.
No, Ollie's right. He might make an exception because Trippier, I think defensively, he still has his moments.
I think
Walker's definitely going to start Sunday, but he might.
Yeah, he was actually in the League Cup game. Trippier was directly up against Sanchez, and he was terrified.
He emptied himself.
He was genuinely terrified. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
That was a different Trippier. I think that was debut for Tottenham.
Yeah, definitely.
Certainly that's quite fair. But he has his moments against Fiorentina.
He made a quite
silly foul.
Totally fair point.
Yeah,
Trippier's ball as well. That ball he put in for the own goal.
It was brilliant.
I don't think Walker was capable.
It's unprecedented. I don't think there's a team in Europe that has four fullbacks on good form.
Yeah,
I mean another team.
Yeah, that's really
simple as that. Really, like we've got four fullbacks in great form.
Would you say it's the most important position in Poch's system?
Yeah, definitely.
Possibly Dyer.
I think there's better players.
I think there's a case for Dyer because he seems to be the only one trusted to do that drop back between the.
But he's the only one that can do it.
That allows the fullbacks to push on.
There's an argument for Alderweireld as well. I think for his distribution from the back and stuff.
True. So I think
in terms of position, I wouldn't have said the centre half was as important as to the system.
I mean, more in terms of player.
Yeah, in terms of personnel, I definitely agree.
Yeah, I think we definitely need four decent fullbacks in our team as well because the amount of miles those guys put in, because especially in tough games when they're up and down, maybe against Swansea where they didn't really have to go back in their own half.
And it makes you think, doesn't it? Like last season when Poch was getting some flack. His options at right back with Dyer, Chiriches, Norton. His options left back were Rose and Davis, but it wasn't the same Davis. And you can look back now with hindsight and think, this is obviously what he wanted, what we've got now.
Mm.
You know, fullbacks he can rotate that are going to cover the full length of the pitch from one touchline to the other and just be our width. And he wasn't able to do that last year.
Let's, do you want to do your head-to-head with Ollie about the title challenge?
I want.
Are we running too long for?
I want to say one. I do want to do it, but I also want to say one more thing about the fans, because Sunday they were absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, great.
And you, everyone went, didn't they?
Yeah.
So,
really.
I mean, let's be honest. The fans at White Hart Lane in tight games against bottom half teams, well, especially when we go 1-0 down, can be not
clapped off at half time.
Not great. Yeah.
Clapped off at half time, which I thought was. Really,
I mean, if
nowhere,
that had been a game
really
under Harry, they'd have been booed off after.
And we would have lost it 1-0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were absolutely brilliant, like phenomenal.
And
it
shows
it amazing.
What belief Pochettino has, Brett, and it is Pochettino.
Just constant singing, urging the team on, the noise when Rose scored, and the noise at the final whistle.
Unbelievable.
It was brilliant.
Those celebrations for Rose as well, and there's a picture of it, and it's like the Watford one, you know, and there's that players properly clambering over each other, and I think it's Chadley who's just like, it's like mental. Yeah, it's great. Just imagine Rose in the middle of it just getting crushed like a baby.
You've got to love the spirit, because Poch nearly jumped in.
Yeah,
he
did.
Jumped into the
he
crowd.
Said he nearly jumped into the crowd after.
It was like unbelievable. And then when they came off at full time, like Son was stood there. I think it was Dyer who came up to him, but he was waiting, and Dyer ran up to him and he just hugged him and then screamed at him like in his face, and Dyer was a bit like, I don't know how to react, but I'm happy.
Yeah, it's great, and it's getting better all the time, isn't it? And you just hope, you know, right, let's do the title thing then, because you apparently had a discussion in the pub which you were both completely sober.
No, I was completely sober. Ollie was
about 8 days.
I should say that I was there, and Ollie was talking stuff out of his passion.
But I was right on this.
Right, so Ollie, what is your point about the title challenge?
So, A, let's be clear. I think we have a fantastic team that are worthy of a top four finish.
Yeah.
And I want to make that clear from the very start.
From the get-go,
exactly. What I do think, though, is I do think we have more gears to go into attacking-wise. A lot of what we've done has been...
Oh, you're changing the argument. It was never we've got more gears to go into attacking.
No, what I mean is we've not been as good attacking-wise as I expect other teams to be in our position.
Your argument last night was Spurs are not worthy title winners because they haven't...
I did not say not worthy title.
Oh, fine. Your argument was more or less Spurs have not played well enough going forward. I admit, you said that. Going forward... to warrant being champions.
Yeah,
the point
attacking
was
I don't think we have been. I don't think we've attacked as well as I expect a championship side to do. Not that I care.
Well, the first,
but I do think that's
the first thing I'd say about that is that I think generally the team with the best defence wins the title.
Chelsea won a title and won.
I think it's only three times that hasn't happened.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah.
Three
or
four.
So it's kind of immaterial how good you are going forward. If you've got the best defence and you can score goals, then history suggests you deserve to be champions, which is exactly what Spurs are doing.
Arsenal won the league winning 1-0.
Yeah, I mean, it's more of a stylistic thing as well, though. I just think we, you know, when we go forward, and we do play some very nice football at times, I don't think we have hit the heights that we potentially could as an attacking side. And I do think there is more to come from us. And I just don't think when we attack, I don't know.
Do you mean that we haven't like smashed teams?
It's not so much the score line. It's
fluidity.
The fluidity. It's the crisp passing. Because we do rely heavily on our press and forcing errors, pinching the ball in tight situations, and you know grabbing goals that way. What I haven't seen us do is string together a nice sequence of passes. More often than not, and scoring like we did under Redknapp. Admittedly, we had a host of other flaws, but some of the football we played was scintillating. And we don't play that kind of brand of football. Admittedly, it's a different brand, but we don't open up teams in the same way that we did then. Admittedly, we're much more porous.
I think we're similar in how City have won their two titles. It's very there's a plan A, and plan A makes up 95% of their wins. And then you get that 5% that is changing it up. But particularly under Pellegrini, they play one way, and that title that they won, much as Liverpool lost it, They played the same football pretty much start to finish, and it's very good, but they've got very, very good players. But
I don't think
they were ever incredible to watch.
What I was going to say is I'm not sure... I still don't agree with Ollie. I know what you're saying, but I think to use a cricket analogy, the best bowlers in Test cricket will apply pressure, relentless pressure, so they just get the line and length right all the time and make the batsman constantly play. And eventually, the batsman's going to make a mistake. They're going to they crack under the pressure essentially, and they'll play a shot or they'll miss a ball, and that's it. You got your wicket. And when I've been watching Spurs at home, it sort of reminds me of that. We'll just relentlessly press the team, wave after wave of attack. And what was great about the Watford win, what was great about yesterday's win, was that under Redknapp, it felt like we would come up against these teams that sat deep and frustrate us, and then we'd lose our heads and panic and shoot from distance and stop doing what we were doing. Pochettino's team just don't stop doing what they're doing. Mm. They'll keep playing the ball wide, they'll keep getting the fullbacks involved, they'll keep hitting Kane early, they'll keep going through Ali, and they mix it up, and it's just pressure. It's just applying the pressure, more pressure, and eventually the teams like Watford and teams like who did we beat yesterday?
Sunderland.
They're gonna crack, and we're gonna score a goal. And I'm not sure it even matters that we need to be. Well,
maybe
playing
it doesn't matter at all. I'm just saying as a kind of perhaps, and I think maybe it's perhaps the history of Spurs is that we have come to expect a certain way of playing, and Pochettino has kind of torn that up to quite.
Have we like in the last 5 years, really? Ever since Redknapp's left? Have we really had glorious football?
Yeah, really. I'd say I'd rather be doing this and win the league than play like Redknapp and finish fourth and mess up.
I'm really not going to complain. I'm not complaining. It's
like getting Mourinho in charge when Chelsea get Mourinho. You know what you're getting with Mourinho, and you know it's not going to be great, but he will win you stuff. He's a trophy machine, and that's. You know, we've got to hope that this is just the start of that, haven't we? Surely.
I
so basically, Ollie, get out.
Bad opinion.
It's 2-1, 0-0 so far. But you've
been listening to this for a while. Clear.
Let's move on. let's move on because we're really, really running short of time. It's going to be quite a while. But Ollie's gesticulating that he would like to have a comfort break. So we're going to do that. We'll be back with West Ham and Arsenal reviews. Go on, Ollie. Go and have your tinkle. Welcome back to the Running Orderless Tottenham Way podcast. Ollie has had his comfort break now, so he's able to remember his arguments properly.
Relieved.
Because clearly,
change his arguments.
Clearly, it was a problem in the first half. Dan, just in the second half, can I make a request?
Yeah.
Can you stop shaking your foot on my chair? Because at the moment, I feel like I'm getting a migraine from the. I should have said before we started recording.
I've got jigging leg.
Which is fine, but there's fine.
Yeah, right, I'll do
not
it.
Not on my chair.
Right,
mate.
Noted.
All right. Many mistakes this week, I have to say. What are we doing? West Ham. West Ham is on Wednesday, which I'm terrified about, genuinely. I think that's one of the toughest games we've got left. And I would put it above Chelsea and Liverpool away.
Really?
Yeah. Last game at the Bowling. They're sick. They are a decent side. But the one thing we'll say is that they were terrible against Sunderland, and we're not terrible.
And we battered them when we last played.
Yeah, that's fair.
They haven't lost at home since August, have they?
We've not lost away since August as well. So what? No.
Something
has got to give. Indeed.
One all draw.
One all
draw.
What do we actually think, kind of? Because the biggest team news is for West Ham is that they have no right back. There's no one fit, and they're suspended as
Jenko's not fit.
Jenkinson's not fit. O'Brien's not fit. They've
they'll probably
no
play
one.
A Bonner there, to be fair.
Yeah, I've heard this. Does that curtail a bit of... Does that give us an opportunity to sort of attack them down there, that left side?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've watched quite a bit of West Ham this season just because I have to. And Ogbonna's okay. I thought he was better than he's shown this season. But they've got quite a few guys in defence that can do a utility job. And I think they'll probably be okay. to be honest. But I would start Son on the left. Just
do you think?
Get
I thought he was quite poor against Swansea.
He,
I'll be looking at Chadley's contribution has been really good.
I think the way that West Ham, I think they'll want blood. I don't think they'll sit back. I think they'll probably go for the jugular. Because they have this, genuinely, I'm going to say this, and I'll probably get some stick for it, but West Ham care more about Spurs than they do about West Ham.
Sounds fair.
And they will want to beat us.
They really do.
So it will be. They will attack, and I would expect us to pick them off and win well.
Yeah, if they do that, that'll be to their detriment.
Win well. Yeah, I do agree with that. But that is a big call. Win well.
I think we will. I don't see. I've seen them a lot, and okay, they're sixth, but I think this is a position very much like Manchester United, where a league position is belying their performances.
Okay.
I don't think they've been that great. I've never seen a performance this season and thought, yeah, they're a team. Like lots of fans have with Spurs.
Not even Liverpool away or City away when they...
Liverpool away was the result of a really terrible Lovren mistake early on. True. And they scored and they went
last days
there.
Of Rodgers, I suppose, as well.
They went from there and built on it. I don't think West Ham are all that good. If Payet has a good day, then anything can happen. But
I was going to ask you guys about...
I think if we shackle him, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, what do you think? Do you think that's Dyer's job on Wednesday?
Yeah, I'd imagine
stopping
so, yeah.
I'm worried about that though, because if he gets a booking, he's out of Arsenal.
No, he's not.
No, he's on it was Swansea. If he'd have got booked against Swansea, it would have been
in fact, we actually quite want him to get bookings against West Ham and Arsenal, I think. Because then he's missing Villa and Bournemouth.
That is true.
I mean, there's no good games for Dyer to miss, but again, if you going to pick two in our running that back to back is Villa and Bournemouth.
It'd be a blessing to have a week off.
Wouldn't be the worst thing if he gets a couple of bookings in the next couple of games.
Breaks Pirates legs.
Yeah.
Might be a red.
The only thing I haven't watched a lot of West Ham. The only thing I'll add is if you look at how Swansea played, they sacrificed a winger and they put essentially three defensive midfielders in Key, Britton and Cork.
Yeah.
And it just gave Ericsson, I thought he was brilliant, it gave him the space to play in that deep role next to Dyer but not do any defending and basically dictate the whole game, I thought. If West Ham do come at Spurs, one thing we'll have to think about is who's going to play next to Dyer, because I think Ali probably won't be fit. That's my gut.
Yeah, there is a thing saying that he apparently was limping when
he was limping. I saw him limping through the car park onto the team bus. He was limping quite badly, and he was stopped and asked how is it. And he said, "Oh, it's all right. I'm okay. I kicked the ground in the warm up." Spurs were adamant this morning that he was training as normal, but I don't know. If you're walking past a load of journalists and it's okay, you wouldn't exaggerate a limp. You only limp if you actually have a problem. And it's hard to imagine him.
Secret weapon, hashtag.
Would you, if there's a chance of him playing West Ham but missing Arsenal because of playing West Ham, what would you rather he play?
I think we have enough for West Ham. Mason can fill in there and then put Ericsson back in the three.
Mason loves that kind of game as well. He loves it.
Yeah, I
don't think he'd be absolutely fine against Arsenal if he had to step in, because he's played against them before, done well against them before.
Yeah.
And he's got nothing to fear in that regard.
He did. He gave
Wilshere
a massive
kick as well, which is brilliant.
Great Spurs picture. Yeah. I'm genuinely worried about West Ham, but you guys don't seem to be at all. I'm going to take Harry's definitely advice, because you have watched a lot of them this season. And if you're not particularly worried, because this is a mental test as well, isn't it? Like I was saying, that's the way I'm approaching this and thinking, oh, this is, like I say, the last game, and they do care about us so much.
I think it's a big game. I'm quite worried.
I agree to
it's a big game. But looking at West Ham, I mean, I was told very early, kind of journalistically, that the way you judge a team is you look at the players you take for your team.
Yeah.
And who would Tottenham take? Payet. That's it.
Yeah, and even then, I'm not 100%
sure
you'd
get
in.
But you'd take him, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
just because he's good enough.
Yeah.
And
Cresswell's quite good as well, actually.
Terrible this season.
Not ahead of Davis and Rose.
No, he is quite different.
I think, yeah, it's for them.
I think their best players at the moment are Pyatt and Antonio. Antonio's been really good recently. And with the form that Rose is in and that Walker and Trippier are in, I don't anticipate him getting the chance he got against Sunderland, because that was just terrible defending. From, was it Van Aanholt?
Just didn't clear it.
And Antonio, weird finish, but
good finish. Yeah, really
good goal. And Payet is the only other player. I don't see them threatening us too much. And I think we're going to be, confident because we thrashed them.
I think the only thing that worries me, and I'm not particularly worried about West Ham. I'm worried about the occasion, because I think Arsenal have got Swansea at home, and you know, you'd expect them to win that, you know. And so the pressure is on to win it, because if we don't, then that lot becomes
real crunch. But if we do, Saturday becomes an almost a freebie, doesn't it?
It does, but you know, it works both ways.
No, I'm not saying that I'd be happy to lose it. I'm just saying that we give ourselves that. No matter what happens on Saturday, we're still second.
Yeah, we've got to think about Leicester and all this.
Yeah, we have.
We can't say Tata is a freebie, because we could say that if it was just Spurs and Arsenal in the title. Yeah, we don't want to be 5 points behind Leicester again.
No, true, very true.
I think it'll be okay. But I wrote yesterday in my piece from White Hart Lane that if we win both derbies, we're title favourites, and I would stand by that. I think it's a real test, and I agree. I think that is the only thing, is the occasion. Because I think if we turn up and we play as we can, we're good enough to beat that team.
Yeah.
That group of players, whether it's West Ham or whether they're wearing different coloured kits or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the occasion is huge. And Arsenal, I think that is the biggest North London derby of a generation.
I agree. I think it's bigger than 2012, because it's so much more than fourth place.
Mm. It's so much more.
Yeah.
Don't.
It might be our biggest game in my life.
Domestically, it might well be.
I don't think it's
far off. I really don't think it's far off. And I think it's weird that we haven't really talked about it yet.
Man City at the Etihad is probably the only one that comes close.
In 2010?
Yeah.
Well, that was on the back of, as well, that week when we had Arsenal and Chelsea after the Portsmouth semi-final.
That was to give us a seminal moment in, we're getting top four, Champions League, and it's kind of like break that, you know, hoodoo, if you like. This actually matters. Like, it really actually matters. Really
this is matters. This is a six-pointer, definitely. Like, in the truest sense of the word.
I think if we beat Arsenal, I think that's their title challenge done. I really do.
Nine games left.
And if they'd lose to anyone else with nine games left, and they were potentially 8 or 9 points behind.
I'm trying to agree with Harry. If we beat Arsenal, you've got to think, assuming Leicester deal have a decent week, you're going to think they might be 8 or 9 points off the top.
So it's
tricky to get that back in nine games.
I think there are other games that worry me more on the horizon. I'm particularly worried about Liverpool away, for whatever reason. I hate that fixture.
Yeah.
And it sits there on the horizon thinking, God.
But they could have nothing to play for by then.
That's right.
And we have got closer. We have got a lot closer to Liverpool in terms of going away and putting in better form. We used to just get tanked there.
In terms of even when we didn't get beat 5-0 last season.
Yeah.
3-2
last season, the season before.
Oh, Balotelli.
Yeah, last minute Balotelli. It was one Premier League goal.
I tweeted that when he came on. I remember it. I tweeted, I would make a joke about Balotelli coming on, but he's bound to score.
Yeah.
And then 2 minutes later, he scored.
Well, we do this all the time. They had it the other week. Was it some team? I can't remember. It might have been Palace or someone. Hadn't scored in.
Yeah.
And there it is.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Tottenham will see you. I do agree. I think this is the biggest North London derby that we've had in decades. Decades.
Yeah.
I don't think there's been anything bigger at stake. The top four ones were, you can argue that Arsenal were a worse team than they are now, and you know they were falling off quite dramatically, and then things turned around on the basis of that result. But this is about the title. This isn't about fourth place. This isn't about finishing above the other.
This is about us
finishing above then, and possibly that place being first and then being second.
It's such a big thing.
Feels sick.
Well, we haven't gone.
Our palms are sweating.
Well, we haven't gone crazy yet, have we? But I think all of us have just started to talk about this and started to look around and gone, this is going to be a horrible.
I don't really
week.
Want to discuss this.
But again, I think West Ham is important. I think it's a good almost that could act as the distraction I that you've been talking about with the Europa League, possibly.
Well, one of the great things about
a good distraction.
One of the great things about what Pochettino has. The way that Pochettino's got the squad thinking, rather, is that he really has, I think, got them thinking one game at a time. I don't think it's just a throwaway media-trained catchphrase. I think they're genuinely focused on West Ham, and as soon as that ends, the focus will turn to Arsenal. I don't think there's a lot of fear in the Spurs camp about playing anyone, but I don't think there's a lot of sort of concern about the Arsenal game. I think the focus is all on West Ham, and I think we should do the same because I don't.
That is impossible.
It's not possible.
I'm not enjoying talking about the North.
I do agree with what you're saying there, actually, and I also think because Poch has kind of drilled this kind of belief and method into our team, they're all obviously buying into it. And that's the thing, yeah. You can see the players believe.
And equally on top of that, if we're talking about there being a good atmosphere at Fiorentina and Swansea, that atmosphere is going to be incredible on Saturday. It really is, isn't it?
And if we smash them, imagine not just beating them. I know I'm getting way ahead of myself. This is what I do. But imagine if we smashed them.
I preferred Kane's last season. I preferred going a goal down, getting back into it through a sort of a half mistake, but Kane being in the right place.
No, I'd prefer beating them 10-0.
I'll take the smashing. I'll take 4-0.
But then there's a chance that they'll leave, their fans will leave early or something. Whereas with Kane, they obviously just didn't see it coming.
Like the Arsenal fan TV, whose name is Harry Kane?
Yeah.
And then you had the face afterwards being like, oh.
Yeah, that's a great line.
Imagine if you do that to them. A North London derby,
we could.
Getting them to leave early, and that is an indication they are crestfallen, they are distraught, they are beaten. And if your team's leaving, if you're in the title race and you're leaving early because you've been beaten that soundly by one of your rivals, that's a fillip for us.
Maybe. I want them to have a shred of hope. And then for it to slowly, as Kane rose for that header and it looped into the far post, all that hope, you could see it drain from all of them because they knew they were not winning that game. Harry Kane scored.
I think we should approach it with confidence. I agree with you, Dan, in terms of we should take it game by game and West Ham is the focus and then after that it's Arsenal. But if that Man United team can put 3 past Arsenal...
Fair. Yeah, it's fair.
Then we should be beating them.
There's one man that knows how to set up a derby as well as Poch.
Gotcha.
He gets it, doesn't he? We've said this a few weeks ago, he's experienced worse and he seems to relish it. He seems to relish it as a player, but as a manager he seems to enjoy the kind of man who leads his men into battle, but not in a raw way. It's more of a just do your job.
For us as well, because we are coming from a position of no one expected us to be here, where people kind of start the season expected Arsenal to be challenging. And they will be a lot more nervous, I expect, going into this than we need to be. We can actually afford to be more or less achieved what we set out at the start of the season. We're not far off from doing that. So anything beyond is great. And we can play with a little more freedom. I think if things go against Arsenal, and I know this could haunt me. They could really find it difficult, and I think just maybe not like technically but mentally that could be a big
pressure's really
thing for them,
because if they can't win the most open title race in years, if they finish behind Leicester and Spurs, that's like Wenger's, it's got to be, hasn't it?
This is their biggest chance.
This is our chance to send him into the board.
Just want to finish in the top four.
Yeah, but this is. But so do.
He's never finished below Spurs.
That would be a huge thing. But more, I think that's more for us. But also,
Tottenham today is dead, and we can have wheelchair.
It's not dead yet. This is getting into mind the gap territory.
Not going anywhere near that.
I can't even mention that.
What do we call ours if it happens?
Wheelchair Wednesday.
What if it's a Friday?
We'll make it a Wednesday.
We can do better than that.
I don't think we can. I think we have to be specifically what day we win.
Wheelchair week. Tweet it. Hashtag wheelchair week. Get it.
I don't know. I don't want to make it about him. I'm going to groomer Tuesday or whatever it is.
Groomer Tuesday.
Wow. I've nothing to do with any of this.
We've turned a corner here. But is this the biggest week that we've had? I mean, we're talking about the biggest North London derby, but with West Ham as well, collectively as a week, the Swansea win started off what is surely the most important week we've had here, like probably since Champions League and certainly in Premier League era.
Yeah, I do feel like you're going to be saying this for the next few pods, though, because I think every time you get past a little stage, then you'll go, we've got United and Liverpool in quick succession.
But
it's going to be constant. Every week's going to be our biggest week for quite a few weeks from now on.
But we've never done this before, and I don't really know how to approach it. I don't know what to do with myself, really. I can't. I don't. But the great thing is that it's still enjoyable. Like Swansea on Sunday was enjoyable as a game. I wasn't sitting there thinking, "Oh God, we're 1-0 down at half time. This is the end." Because you said it, the pressure isn't there necessarily. It will build, but we are still 11 games off.
If we were fourth, it would be.
I'm with that as well. That's a par for us that we're one under, isn't it? For us, that's what we're aiming for. Steady progress.
What,
but this is
what
just
Ollie said earlier,
beyond.
That's spot on in terms of the fact of fourth is where we want to be.
Yeah, and let's roll back. None of us expected to maybe
my
be
friend.
Fourth. Yeah.
We can win the title.
We can win the title. I came on this early on in the season. I think I said I'd be happy if we came fifth and played good football.
I said the same thing.
And I think most people felt that, and now here we are.
Fifth and a trophy became like a theme, didn't it?
I had a really
fifth and a trophy was fine.
Interesting. Like, I spoke to Miguel Delaney last night, and he sent me a message saying Spurs are ahead of time. Like, this is ahead of their timeline. And I really believe that. I really think Pochettino has a five-year plan. I know it's a thing that is often said, and it's a cliche almost, but he really seems like he does have a five-year plan, and it's like 2 years in already we are challenging for the league. Where are we going to be in year five?
Where do we go from here as well? I mean, that's the difficulty. We've got a tough summer.
It
whatever
changes,
happens,
it changes everything if we get top four, let alone win a title. Like, say, being ahead of schedule, last season in White Hart Lane under the lights would be a Champions League season.
It'd be amazing.
It would be.
It's just
be
incredible,
isn't it?
It would
hopefully
be.
Imagine if we need to win the sixth group game and it's at White Hart Lane, it's potentially our last ever Champions League game at White Hart Lane, and we need to beat, I don't know, Marseille or something like that at home. That is an atmosphere. That is going to be an atmosphere.
Yeah.
But that's quite a little, that's a way off.
What a great time to be a Spurs fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really,
the thing is, and it's just energising, isn't it? And you're, after so many years, this is a, if we finish fourth and we're disappointed with that, then it's still no bad thing, is it? That's incredible. I was going to say let's do questions, but the iPad's died, so we can't, we don't know.
I looked so much on Twitter.
The only one that let's do one.
All right.
And it was a round table. Ollie's gesticulating.
Right,
don't even have a
week.
You
were mentioning someone's question that you wanted to answer earlier because they're.
I don't remember what it was. I don't remember what it was. Yeah, apologies to people who did send it in, but it's just been a technical error. Trunk asked, yes or no, straight answer, yes or no, Tottenham Hotspur Football Club, Premier League champions. Harry?
Yes.
Ollie?
Yes, got him.
Dan?
Is it will we or will can we?
It's are they? Are we? As in, just think ahead.
May 15th.
Yeah.
Final whistle. Newcastle.
Our Tottenham Premier League.
I hate the fact that that's at St James's.
No.
No. So it's
get
2
out.
For 2. That's not a non-belief. It's
bad
news. It happens. It's so near the end, Dan.
Yes!
Yeah.
You're on your own.
Alright, that's fine. I'll be on my own.
I just can't think of that.
Yeah.
I really can't.
One day at a time.
It's not like don't think we're going to do it. I genuinely can't. can't bring myself to.
I can't believe we're here.
Yeah.
Being able to ask
questions. He's going to allow the players to think like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
he won't ever. He's not the sort to put, you know, picture of the Premier League trophy on the wall and be like, "That's what you're playing for." It's just the same.
It's one game
every
time.
Every week, the same thing. Whether you're playing Bournemouth or Arsenal, whoever.
I just had the top line of Ian Wright's Sun column that said, "I can't live in a world where Tottenham are champions." I just had that on the wall. Go on,
that's fair.
Do it.
I put that on my wall. It's just like, it's what an opportunity that we have in the world.
And if we do win it, I'm holding him to that as
yeah,
well.
Definitely. Have you seen that BT advert at the moment? The one where he's walking around that sewer. Yeah. And he's like, this is our territory. They can't finish above us. It just can't happen. Go back to chicken tonight, you fucking prick. So editorially justified.
Not editorially justifiable.
That is there. I'm sorry. He's
you've got a thing about chicken tonight.
Big fan of it.
I like Chicken Tonight. I don't like Ian Wright. That's my poem for the end. Anything else to add?
Come on, you Spurs!
I need a drink.
Fair enough. Right, Harry, thank you so much for coming down.
Nice to see.
It's been a while, but hopefully we'll get you on before the end of the season or for the last pod.
We'll get everyone hard.
The idea. Yeah. Ollie, thank you for coming down.
Thank you.
Dan, very nice to see you as usual. Cheers. We'll be back next week with what could be I can't even think what an incredible podcast it could be next Monday if we actually get 6 points from the next week, but we're going to enjoy it regardless, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Come on, you editorially justified fucking Spurs!
'Turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain-rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior Paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save.